a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Live, declare your independence from one more day, last day, all packed up, ready to go. Went to the hotel room, no more rain, please. I'm in the hotel room. We're at Lancaster, New Hampshire, where Porkfest 2012 just finished up last night here at Rogers Campground. Where this week we're going to have, we'll get a wrap up. You know, we'll have Carla. You know, call her, come on, and, she's president of the Free State Project. You know, they're going to be making some changes, doing some things, improving bigger, better, and, better mousetrap for trapping those come New Hampshire. Got to get you come New Hampshire. You know, I'm looking out the door now at the misty, smoky mountain ranges, green grass, light, built kind of beautiful. I mean, it's nice and cool and damp, and it's very nice. But, you know, you can't always count on that 365 days a year. So do you make part of your life up here? You just suck it up and get a jacket? I mean, what is it? Well, they're ready to explain it to you. And the Free State Project has a plan to get more people up here. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Then Crosby, the owner of the campground, he and I had a long conversation last year and then again last night. And, man, just in the last year, I don't know if he's been sensitized by anybody up here, what government does and everything. It's like, every time I turn around, it's always more. Audit this, check your labor that. And, it might be because he does the Pork Fest, All of a sudden, there was another, I remember it was last year or year before, they had a big tax. They got a new tax. Don't think New Hampshire doesn't tax. They don't have an income tax, but they tax. And I go, well, you don't have a corporate income tax. He goes, no, they call it an enterprise tax. And it's based on how much money you make. And I go, wasn't that income tax? No, they call it something else. And I go, oh, okay. So he's like, and I get all this. They keep coming and visiting me with all kinds of more taxes. Every time I turn around, and they had a big tax they wanted to do on campers. If you came and camped, there is an additional, it's like when you go get a hotel room. You have the rental car tax, or this tax. You're a transient, Heck, that's what we called homeless, So they go, you're a transient. They got taxes, okay? There's always a tax. And he was very instrumental in stopping the camper tax. So what happened was he had a whole bunch of new best friends. They're going, we just want to look. We want to nuzzle up to you and say hello. So he's got clipboards coming out of his butt, okay? So that was, he wants to talk about that. So this week we're going to have Carla. We'll give a wrap-up on, Pork Fest and what they thought happened and what they're hoping to happen, and we'll see what's happening. Then on our way back today, we're going to stop by Bardo Farms, which is a self-sustaining, just a, a couple of couples and some friends come by every now and then, supporters and stuff, and we can live off the land. And they found, a little bit of livestock, a little bit of effort, and a little bit, you can survive. You can thrive. So we want to go take a look at that, And there's maybe we do barn raising with a big giant dome. We're going to talk to him about it. We're going to visit there today. Then we'll drop Drew off in Keene, and he'll hang for a day or two, and then he's flying back to Phoenix. Don and I are driving back. We haven't even determined our route yet. We're thinking. But today we're going to spend a lot of time with Brett Vinat. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you said it perfectly.
Brett Vinat, he's going to, School Sucks Project. School Sucks podcast. School sucks, okay? And he's going to be doing a special edition on Freedom's Phoenix. So we're going to customize and give him all the powers, special edition, be able to put his podcast up there. He has a lot of supporters. He's really starting to break out as, you know, this is the next generation. We're going to fix and cure it. And so we're going to spend a day with him today. We'll talk about Pork Fest and everything. But first, I want to talk about school sucks and why it's gaining in popularity here. One, you're a teacher, aren't you?
Yeah, some people would describe me that way. I actually was a teacher in a classroom for a number of years in private school. I found that to be a little bit too restrictive, so I moved on to tutoring. And in 2009, I started a business with a professor from a college down in New York, and we do a lot of standardized test stuff, and I moved it into working with homeschoolers and unschoolers. But for years, when I first started doing this, before I started my own company, I was connected to another company where most of the tutoring was, help, my kid is getting bad grades in school, so come fix them and turn their C's into B's and their B's into A's. So during that time, I got to see a lot of the inner workings of public school. I always tell people, I'm not a whistleblower. I never actually taught in the public schools, but I was trained to teach in public school. I spent all of these years in all of these meetings watching people going through the motions of, like, wanting to help kids, but never actually being able to do anything to help them because the schools are just not set up to help individuals. It's, it's about conformity. It's about everybody fitting into a mold. So I really wanted to eventually expose that stuff because when I was in these meetings, there would always be things that I wanted to say. You know, like I would want to call these people out, but that wouldn't have been appropriate, and that's not what the parents who hired me were looking for. So the School Sucks podcast, when I started it in 2009, at the very least, was just some therapy for me, you know, to be able to say all of these things that I'd been thinking that I hadn't been able to tell the students that I was working with, which was very difficult. And it's kind of grown from there.
Okay, let's start. No, there's one thing that I want to make sure we get clear.
Sure.
Unschooling, homeschooling. Now, Alma, one of the activists from Arizona, she's she has a good job, but it's for the man. You know, she just kind of just feels like it's the man. I mean, she does the permitting, site selection, designing, submitting, getting it approved for how many freaking Verizon cell towers can we put up?
Okay, right.
That's what she does. She's not satisfied. She makes a good living. She does all right. She's just like, you know, and all of a sudden she's, you know, in the last few weeks she's just been, I want to unschool. And I go, how the hell is that? What the heck does that mean? I mean, you have homeschooling. We did homeschooling, you know, for a time. We do, parental getting involved in education of your kids' schooling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have. So what the heck is unschooling?
Well, yeah, I think that the distinction is important because when you say, okay, my kids are coming out of public school, which is the worst situation, and then I guess maybe take a slight step the quality of education by going into private school. But homeschooling allows the parents to have more control, which is a word I don't love, but it allows you to maybe get around the misteachings in history that kids have to deal with in public school. They're taught to read in ways that are not optimal and lead to kind of like what I call adult illiteracy, which is the ability to read and, you know, sound out words and all that, but not to really, really be literate. And that's through like look-say method, like trying to identify whole words. So homeschool allows the parents, if the parents know what they're doing, to customize an education, obviously more towards the need of their child, but it's still following curriculum. So when you go to unschooling, what you're really doing is you're using the enthusiasm that your child already has, the curiosity that your child already has, and it's much more self-directed. So their enthusiasm for whatever subject, their curiosity, is the momentum right from the beginning, that's how adults learn. That's how adults learn.
No, you must be a drone. You learn what I tell you. I need you to follow in my footsteps and be, you know, all my kids. Hey, I'll be talk show host. We don't have enough talk show hosts. Everybody talks about, you know, this is, it's going to be an interesting conversation with Brett Bernat. You know, here we go. You guys stick around.
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasy.com.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this, right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
Immigrating to the Shire was easy. I was instantly plugged into a community of individuals who also care about peace, liberty, and justice, and are willing to do something about it.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
My name is Jacob Hornberger. I'm president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, which Congressman Ron Paul awarded for having an outstanding freedom website. Write us at fff@fff.org, and we'll send you a free 3-month subscription to our monthly journal of libertarian essays and our booklet, Economic Liberty in the Constitution, which George Mason University economics professor Walter Williams praised in a recent column. That's fff@fff.org.
Imagine someone in your community getting in their car, turning on the radio, and hearing the Liberty Radio Network. You can make that vision a reality with your own micro radio station. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how you can put our programs on the air in your area. You can have lrn.fm running around the clock, and you can even add in your own local shows. Building a radio station is simple, but programming isn't. That's where lrn.fm comes in. Learn more at broadcast.lrn.fm. That's broadcast.lrn.fm.
Hey, this is Mandrake.
And this is Jay.
And we're getting ready for Porkfest 2012.
Porkfest is the Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's happening June 18th to the 24th at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire.
And this year's Porkfest will be the best yet.
Why is that, Mantrick? Because of all the great speakers that'll be there? Or maybe the family fun events? Perhaps you're excited about Flaming Freedom's big gay dance party?
Actually, I had no idea any of that goes on.
You had no idea because you and I spend all our time running the George's Famous Baklava food stand.
And that's why I'm so excited. Every year we get to meet so many great people who stop by for food and jokes, some of which are a little dirty.
Yeah, about the dirty jokes, we should try not to offend so many people this year.
It was one person, and I thought her wooden leg was for the pirate party.
Oh, and don't forget all those times you walked away for 5 minutes, only to return 2 hours later.
I kept getting mauled by all my fans.
You fell asleep on a picnic table!
Oh, right. Hey, you want to wrap this up?
Go to porkfest.com and register today. That's PORCFEST.com.
Do you love Twitter? Make sure you favorite the LRN.FM Twitter account so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Independence live with me, Ernest Hancock, Drew Phillips hanging out, and we got Brett Bernat, and we're here at, still in Lancaster at Rogers Campground, cuz, you know, it's like work. You know, so we knew we were going to stay until Monday, do it here, because it just, man, you know, we got everything packed up, though, all ready to go. And we got it, you know, packed up and dry right before it started to rain again. And we did have rain one day, and let me tell you one thing I found out about the dome. Dome is cold. Dome is, it's, we were over by the dome. It is in front of the dome. It's beside the dome.
Not waterproof.
This could bring you down. Which one is it?
Three.
Number three, down, hello. Down.
Hi, everybody.
There you go.
The dome is not waterproof.
That's what. Yeah, it's not waterproof. You know, I go, you mean you just can't throw nylon stockings up there and be waterproof? And I go, man, I think it's raining more inside.
It was fun. It was like a little tropical merchandise rainforest.
but it worked out really nice, you know. And I didn't plan on it being waterproof, but it was. It would have been nice. But it was very, very, very cool. And a lot of people were inspired, got to thinking, and started just showing how it was done and how little material it took, and how it took, and how cheap it is, and the things that you could do. And they're like, So I think there's a whole lot of humming going on.
Dome mansion.
You know, well, there's, you know, if you look up Money Dome, Freedom's Phoenix Money Dome, we put all the links in there that give you all the math, you know, all the stuff to do. I mean, there's math. And that's one thing, you know, young people, that my sons were probably 12, 13 around there, got to have a dirt bike. Yeah, you want a dirt bike? Where are you going to haul it in? You know, we don't have a pickup truck, man. We got to make us a trailer. Well, there was math involved. You know, and I'm going, we got to get the angles right of this. We got to do some trig on this. We got to cut, you know. So we're actually, I go, oh, this is all the math they're telling you about. You're going to die if you don't know math. So when you're raising the next generation, you're going, hey, man, you know, this math thing comes into play a lot of times if you're really not just going to be a drone. So, you know, we're talking to Brett Vinat from School Sucks podcast, schoolsucks.com. No, schoolsucksproject.com, right?
Indeed, yep.
So you have people that go to, you go through the educational process, you're ready to be a teacher, you get your master's thing, you're all certified, you're ready to go, and you go, you know, heck, just during my training stuff, during my intern, whatever, I'm going, oh, hell no. How old are you?
I'm 34.
So you're a young man, you know, you went through this and you just go, no. But, you know, the math, I mean, I would imagine if you went in and you start to homeschool, one of the first places where they're having problems is math.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so tell me about where you think the school system is most efficient and where you're the most valuable in having, you know, a non-drone child.
Okay, well, this is actually the last thing I was doing before I left for Porkfest was I was working with a homeschool girl who was about 11, and, you know, it was an unschool environment, so I was going to let her direction dictate, you know, what we did and where we went. So I'm thinking of all these creative ideas that we could do together, and she kind of brought me back down to earth. She said, I need to improve my writing skills and my math skills. And we found this wonderful website called Khan Academy that a lot of people have heard of, which is a way you can learn math for autodidacts. For
had people. You'd known about it before that?
I had known about it before. People had been sending me links to Khan Academy stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, ever since I started School Sucks podcast, because like you got to check this out, you got to get this guy on the show. I mean, I did reach out to their marketing team or their publicity team and never heard back.
Oh, no, they're too big now.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, we don't have time for the peons, man. We're big boys.
Well, they got funded by Bill Gates, and rightfully so. They got some funding for what they do because Salman Khan started just making these little YouTube videos for his nephews, I think, to say, oh, you know, you guys are having trouble in math. What do you want to see? How to do this? And he just had, like, one of those little light boards, what do they call it? Those tablets where you can write on and turn it into a video. So they're
it's like a chalkboard.
Yeah.
You know, well, what he was a hedge fund genius, uber 180-plus IQ something,
sure.
You know? So he's a math guy. Anyway, he goes, I can explain this to my nephews. Come on.
Yeah.
And it just exploded.
Yeah, it did, because he had a really engaging style. The videos were they were simple and a little crude, but they were funny. And, you know, his explanations were great. They were very thorough. And eventually he turned this into a curriculum that people who want to use the site can control themselves. It, like, when you achieve mastery of a subject, it generates new things for you. And, you know, it's a little bit kind of rewardy, which I'm not into, you know, like punishments and rewards. Like, I don't think that's a good way to get things done with kids. But, you know, if you look at how kids play these video games and they
like encouragement to go to the next level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They want little things they can collect in the game. So he gives out these badges if you master a certain concept or a broader sort of umbrella concept. And you can move on and kids can collect these and they can log in. They can create their own account. They can see all the little badges that they have. And the girl I was working with was really into this. And I just thought it was like the greatest thing because 4 weeks of working together, she was going away for the summer and her parents wanted to do as much as we could just in 4 weeks. We did over 2 years of math concepts as they would be distributed in public school. Over 2 years in about, I would say, 15 days of working together.
This is, we did an edition, I think it was September of 11, and it was just on these kinds of things. It was just on homeschooling and stuff was the main theme of the e-zine. And we put Khan Academy's full curriculum in there with hyperlinks. You know, it's there. You go get the e-zine edition of September Freedom's Phoenix, boom, there it is. You just click, boom, there it is, done. And this was, so I was so enthralled. You knew this was coming. You knew there was going to be a, you know, not everything's universal, you know, but you knew there was going to be an effort to far surpass the public school system with a different goal, to actually educate, to not have drones for the machine. And when you do that, you make that the goal, a lot of things change, a lot of things happen. When we did that edition, I found that there were so many different similar projects and different things, and his was just used a lot of high tech and such, and that's why the cover has the kids on the hill with their tablets and so on. But when you working using this as an instructor, you know, as a tutor, you're sitting next to them. What role does the human interaction have? How do you take your experiences just being an different resources available to us now?
Well, it's support and encouragement and really nothing more. Like, I'm not directing it because there's no quicker way to suck enthusiasm out of a young person than to say, okay, you're not in charge, I'm in charge, so now I'm steering this and you're following me. And I learned that the hard way. Just to tell you a quick little story that relates to this, I was working with this 9-year-old boy, and he was a total unschooler. He said, I want to make a stop-action pirate movie using Legos. Right. And I was like, yes, great idea. So here's how the project worked. You know, you got to come up with a story and then we got to turn the story into a script and then we got to build sets. And he said, well, I just want to start by building the pirate ship. You know, that was his thing that he wanted to do. And that was when I took it away from him, he was so excited. And I said, oh, yeah, let me take control of this. I did it purely by accident. But then suddenly I watched in 5 minutes all of that enthusiasm just disappear. You know, so it was kind of a screw, definitely a screw up on my part. But that's what happens.
And all he wanted you to do is just go buy me some Legos.
Exactly.
You know, where's my Legos, man? I'm sorry, all I need was some Legos, not you.
Do you feel like there's nothing you can do about the inexorable growth of government? I did too, before I heard about the Free State Project. The Free State Project is a project to get 20,000 liberty lovers to move to New Hampshire to have liberty in our lifetimes. Early movers for the FSP are getting elected, involved in their communities, and participating in civil disobedience. Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Refrigerated Cookie Dough. Who would you bake some love for? Find fun and easy baking ideas at tollhouse.com. Kids love doing arts and crafts projects, especially when you join in. Try channeling all that artistic energy into the kitchen and bake up some creative treats together. Think of your art supplies as the frosting, sprinkles, and decorating gels, and use cookies or cupcakes as your canvas. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
George, you can go this way.
You can do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot reach signs into the rally.
Walk with me.
Well, I'm comfortable here, actually.
Whoa, excuse me. Hey, who do you think you are?
Excuse me. There is no video or audio allowed in this office.
No, I have work today. This is...
You ain't going to make it.
Wait, now. Wait a minute.
You're being served.
What is this?
You're being served.
What
this summer, Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. See the trailer now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
On Free Talk Live, we talk about investing in gold and silver as a hedge against inflation, investment, and barter currency. We've teamed up with Midas Resources to offer you some great rates on some hand-picked gold and silver pieces. U.S. Eagles, British Sovereigns, 20 Francs, Lakota Nation Silver Rounds, Montana Silver Reserves, and Walking Liberty Halves. Call 877-857-9938 or go to gold.freetalklive.com. The shipping is the same for one as it is for 20, so try to get as many as you can all at once. gold.freetalklive.com.
If you can't listen to the Liberty Radio Network's internet streams, free satellite channel, or radio affiliates, no worries. You can listen to LRN.FM from any phone, anywhere. Add this number to your phone, 760-569-7753. It's a long-distance call, so make sure you're familiar with your phone's calling plan. The Liberty Radio Network listen lines are locked on our stream 24 hours a day. Call 760-569-7753. That's 760-569-7753.
It's the Onion Radio News. JCPenney abandons its 45-second sale. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Word came today from JCPenney headquarters in Plano, Texas, that the retail giant will discontinue its 45-second sale. The bargain bonanza, in which all JCPenney merchandise is discounted by 60% for 45 seconds starting at 1 p.m. daily, simply wasn't pulling in enough revenue. CEO Alan Questrom.
The 45-second sale through very strong customer response, but regrettably, only a handful of shoppers actually got to capitalize on our fantastic prices due to the horrific injuries they sustained during their stampede to the cashier.
Questrom added that plans are in the works to create a longer 2-minute sale intended to give frantic shoppers at least a fighting chance to enjoy incredible store-wide savings. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This is The Onion News Network. Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime, 760-569-7753. That's 760-569-7753.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
No calls today. We're out in the Lone Prairie. You know, this is, we got all the mics filled up. Everyone ready to go. No, I think we can do a couple more. We got skills. We got technology. Technology allows us to do a lot of things. Technology allows us to, you know, get access to a whole bunch of information and put it in our heads from just about anywhere. Now, here up in New Hampshire, you know, Brett Vinat decided that early on, he's, you know, he gets his master's, he's got all his, he's like, I just want to, go ahead and leave that open, baby. He starts doing a, wants to teach, you start getting people saying, hey, you know, my kid's getting a C,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's failing his class, he's not doing well, make the school happy, make the man happy, okay? You know, fulfill the requirements as, you know, put upon us by the man.
Right.
Okay? And you go, are you enthusiastic about that?
No, it's the worst. Because the whole setup of that situation is, hey, new kid, something is wrong with you, and that's why I'm here. Right? That's the feeling. So when what I mostly do with the SAT, so when I show up there, it's like, hey, we're going to work together to do better on something. You know, it's not like you failed at something and you need me. And, but that kind of academic tutoring, it really started to wear me down because, like, if somebody's getting a C in chemistry, so what? Maybe they don't like chemistry. Like, is it shocking to adults that 100% of time, effort, and thought isn't put into something that somebody has no interest in? You know? So I got away from that stuff because I was a tool of the system that way, right? Like, I was just an extension of what the system does, which...
Another person saying what they say is important.
Exactly. And I just this extension that reaches out to say, hey, if you don't conform and you don't fit into this mold, then you are defective. So I didn't want any part of that anymore, and I don't do that anymore.
Well, how did you, so you do a lot. So like to say, you know, they're getting ready to do their SATs and so on, which is important because somebody said so. And they
yeah.
they go, you know, we really need, it's important. We got to get my kid, and if we don't, and we got to increase in a percentage in a job, kind of call Brett. Okay?
Yeah.
And Brett comes in and says, we're going to make it better.
What I say to them is, like, for some reason that maybe none of us understand, and you touched on it a little bit just a second ago, these two numbers, or really three numbers now, reading, writing, and math, for the SAT, are, you know, they have this tremendous importance for the college admissions process. And it's a lot of work and a lot of stress to get three numbers that go onto an application that might turn out to be very important in the admissions process, and they might not, depending on which school you go to. And we talk a little bit about, you know, I touch a little bit about on the whole college thing, like, you need to know what you want to do if you go. It's a very expensive way to find out what you want to do for a year. But what I say is, if you have to sit here for 10 hours and you have to stress out about all of this stuff, what this class will be, the value that I will add to it is I will try to, you know, introduce you to some skills or strengthen some skills that were left underdeveloped by your schooling process. And I always say, I don't want to offend anybody by criticizing school. And they always all laugh, right? But school can't do certain things. School can't teach you. And it actually kind of takes away from you things that you probably would have learned naturally about critical thinking. So the SAT math is very much about logical reasoning and critical thinking. It's not the same formulaic, do the same thing for homework 30 times in a row that persuasive essay. So for the SAT, that's part of the writing score. So to remove, you know, contradictions and logical fallacies and clear, consistent arguments is another thing they get to learn in this class. And also building their vocabulary just through understanding, like, the roots that make up the language. 75% of the English language comes from Latin roots. So if you can learn 150 Latin roots, you could increase your functional vocabulary by thousands of words. So in 10 hours, if I can offer them that value, and they say, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm tired of learning things. I'm 17. I've been at this. But I say, these are real things that will help you, if not in life, they will help you in life, but in the short term, at the very least, they will help you in college. So I want to give you as much value as I can beyond just those two or three numbers for the SAT.
Okay, so you've created a company, a thing. I mean, you know, people, I mean, it was like a business card with somebody answering the phone and the website and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, like that real. Yeah.
That real. Okay, so you go up to someone and go, yeah, man, Brett was the man. You know, we need somebody. I mean, are you starting to expand? I mean, people, how do you market? How people know that you're there?
It goes kind of in and out, up and down. It's sometimes we're really, really busy. And
well, what is this, a corporation the size of, you know,
no, it's just Dell? a small LLC. It's three people. You know, there's the president, I'm the vice president, and then we have kind of an operations and marketing person who handles most of the phone stuff. And
well, who's in the street? Just you?
Pretty much. I mean, I could hire somebody to minimize my workload, my travel, to just do the tutoring. But at this point, if I can handle it and I can make all that money, I mean, why not? I could subcontract out to somebody and pay them maybe $25 an hour and take a cut for myself. But if I'm in a position where I have the time to travel and make, you know, twice that amount of money per hour, then that's what I should do. And if it becomes overwhelming, you know, then I can go reach out to maybe a college student. I'd like to find somebody with some educational experience, probably, preferably tutoring a test like this, and hire them. And then they can start.
So you have like a curriculum or style or a method that you would have them follow?
Yes, I do, unless they could come up with something better. Unless they could look at what I present and say, well, here are some faults or here are some strengths that I think I could add to it, then obviously I would look at that. Because when I started working with the guy who put up a lot of the funding for the company, he was a college professor down at King's College in Manhattan. You know, he had a formula that he was using, and as I started to teach it, I said, I don't know if I could make this better, but I could make it into something I could present better. So obviously he said, yeah, do whatever you want with it. And I rewrote a lot of it for my presentation style. So that was, and it's a constant process of improvement. I'm always changing something. And I'm always trying to keep it fresh for me, too, because I don't want to be doing this and going on autopilot. And if I get too familiar with the material, I'm not going to realize, my fear would be that I wouldn't realize that other people were missing things because it just would seem so automatic and so easy to me because I'd done it so many times over and over and over again. So, and that's one of the problems that teachers have. You know, they've seen this material. Someone's been teaching for 15 years. Like, science teachers in high school are particularly terrible, right? Because they've just been doing all of this stuff year after year the same way. So, like, all of my science teachers were really good at science and really bad at teaching because they forget the trouble balancing state. You know?
Teacher, leave those kids alone. I remember the more I become experienced and older I get, you know, Pink Floyd, The Wall is really about the man demeaning the people. I mean, it was like, you're not smart. It's exactly that attitude.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it's just making you feel bad because it made them feel better.
Hmm.
And I've seen this a lot. The teachers in the system, do you think that, you know, as a quality of character or individuals, they're getting better? Or is it really drawing the worst sort, kind of like politics?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's so many different people that come into that profession. But remember, there is a real culture of that the union creates, that these do not have to be the cream of the crop because they really can't lose their job. And they really don't have any incentive, you know, to perform. Because what's the reward? It's like the same. You're on a pay schedule, right? So, you know, your pay will go up every year, you know, assuming you don't do anything sexual with the kids or embezzle or, you know, something like that. So there's very little incentive, and that doesn't draw in the most quality people, obviously.
Options. Diversity. As diverse as every single human being, certainly children on the planet. And we have options. Brett the Knocker. SchoolSucksPodcast.com.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on M-E-M-E, Fashioning the Silver Economy. A meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat Liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info and get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't Tread on Meme.
What if the key to achieving liberty in your lifetime was to move together with others who think like you? Liberty activists are joining the Free State Project, which is over halfway to its goal of 20,000 participants. And they're already making the move to New Hampshire. The successes are piling up and are proving the Free State Project is a real movement and no longer just a great idea. When you're planning... your move, consider Keene. Keene is famous for its civil disobedience and non-cooperation, and there's plenty of political all originating here. Though, it's more than just activism, with regular social events each week. See what's happening at FreeKeene.com and get connected with video, audio, free books, a forum, and activist tools you can download and use in your area at FreeKeene.com. That's FreeKeene.com.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Porcupine Realtor. Do you want a home with 20 acres, a lakeside cabin, any takers for renters, buyers, and sellers too? Mark Warden is the guy for you. PorcupineRealtor.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.lrn.fm. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit the Liberty Radio Network when you shop at Amazon via shop.lrn.fm.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers. You can interact with other LRN listeners in our message board at forum.lrn.fm. That's forum.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Yeah, well, you know, who determines the truth, the lies? I mean, you got to get into, you know, it's not just reading, writing, and arithmetic. You know, it's also philosophy and how do you apply these skills? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. The world is changing. I mean, just on Freedom's Phoenix today, here's sky high and abyss deep. China's double record breaker, okay? China's, you know, it's got an inferiority complex going on, so it's doing what the U.S. and the Soviets did back in the 60s. No, we did it first. I mean, you know, China has reached the two technological milestones spanning great depths and heights. In the Earth's orbit, the Shenzhou 9 spacecraft manually docked a space module, while under the Pacific, a Jianglong sub dived to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. So here we have, they're starting to do space docking, and they're going to the bottom of the ocean, and they're going, you know, if that's power, well, we got the technology, and we're doing it, and it's inspirational to a billion people in China. And you have, I'll bet you China probably has more geniuses than we got people. I mean, you know, it's just the math. You know, there's so many people that's there, you just got, so what do you do with that kind of thing? And are they bound by a philosophy to not succeed? I mean, are they doomed to failure from the beginning? So as you're doing all of this unschooling and tutoring and SATN and everything, I mean, does it come up, or is it because you're a libertarian that they want you there? And how does that enter into it?
You know, I think it's more of, I think we always get stuck in these practical arguments sometimes too, like what's going to produce the best result? And really, you know, trapping a kid into that kind of a system, a routine, imposing all of these things on them, it's for me, it's a moral issue more than a practical issue. So I worry about the conversations being framed in that respect. But when we, you know, have that as this is the way it should work ethically, then we move into, well, what are the results of this? You know, now that we're doing the right things, does it produce better results? Yes, of course it does. Because, instead of confining a person into what other people want them to be, people who, as we were talking about in the last segment, are not very impressive, are not very imaginative, are not, you know, very outside-the-box kinds of people. They're obedient. They're into following rules. We look at some of the things that are going on in high school today with zero tolerance, the crazy rules that these people are enforcing. That is an extremely high level of obedience to authority and obedience to the so-called rules. Well, it's the rules. You know, anything that even looks like violence, we have to call the police and have a six-year-old taken out of the school in handcuffs for pointing a chicken strip at a kid and saying, bang, bang, you know. So you don't want those kinds of people shaping these dynamic young minds, because the people who are teaching, the people who are the administrators or guidance counselors in this system, those are people who have been beaten down by the conformity and the obedience and what ultimately results as apathy. All of those aspects of that system. So then they're imposing themselves on these young, creative young minds, these imaginative and individualistic, curious young people. It's a terrible situation. So obviously that is going to limit what becomes of those minds if they're exposed to that kind of environment for 12 years.
You know, but it always manifests itself in a much larger dynamic. You know, over generations you'll have millions, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, you know, of children that are around the world, certainly just here in the United States, that have been given these reinforcements or punishments for certain behavior. And if you look at it in general, it comes down to one thing. How obedient are you?
Yeah.
And that's when we had four children and we took them out of school. And it was my second oldest. My oldest, I think, was in third grade, and then my second was in second grade at the time. And that's when we said, we're done with public school. And fortunately, in Arizona, all you got to do is fill out. That I am not sending my kids to public school, have a nice day. And I went on the first day of school and actually did it on one of those pink while you were out pads. I said, can I borrow your pad? I understand. Can I borrow your pad there? And I turned around and said, to whom it may concern, my children will no longer be going to your school, you know. And I signed it and handed it back and walked out. Never went back. And I go, yeah, that's what the law said, man. I notified you. We're done. Okay?
Yeah.
So, but the reason was, is that they had, my son was not, you know, I didn't think was learning anything, but that wasn't the criteria. The criteria was, did he make his day? I'm like, what the hell is make his day thing? And how it came out is my son came home, and I saw that he had homework from the last night still on the show. And I'm making a big deal. It's 3:00. It's after school. I go, man, we got to get this back. We got to take it. We got to go get partial credit for it. You didn't turn in your homework. We got to go. It's all important. We got to turn in your homework.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I didn't have to. Don't worry about that. It's no big deal. What do you mean it's not a big deal? You didn't turn in your homework. Well, I made my day. Made your day. How do you make your day and not do your homework? What the hell does that mean? So he goes, it was a program they had in Arizona. They wanted to have A-rated schools. It was they were going to save everybody. It was just more steam valve BS. Okay?
Yeah.
If 90% of the people in that school made their day, whatever that meant, then they were an A-rated school. So, of course, everybody had to make their day. So what they did, making your day, was you started off with 50 points. If you got below 40 points, you didn't make your day. How do you lose your points? Well, you violated the self-esteem of another fellow student and, you know, whatever the heck. You know, you made fun of their pigtails or something. Mm-hmm. So this is, what was the criteria? I go, how is it that you not do your homework? Well, you only lose 3 points if you don't do your homework, or 6 or whatever it was. You didn't fall below the 40. But if you don't do your homework 2 days in a row, oh, well, then you don't make your day. How hard is it for a 7-year-old kid to figure out that if he just does his homework on Tuesdays and Thursdays, he's good?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about. That's the message that's being transmitted. Like, what? And that's a very bureaucratic mindset. What do we need to do to squeak by without having, you know, a magnifying glass on us? Like, how little can I do to just, you know, get by? And that's exactly what I was talking about, Ernie. That's exactly the kind of thing.
I talked to the teacher. I said, I thought my son was full of crap. I go, oh, I called the office, and she happened to be in the office, you know, doing whatever.
Right.
And she explains this to me.
Yeah.
Gives me the numbers, the criteria, and how. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding? This is it. This is it. Okay, we're done. We're done. Done. And that was like May or something of the year, the end of the school year. We didn't go. It never went back.
Now, what would you think, though, if your kid said, I didn't do my homework because I totally understand it, and I value myself, and I value my time, and I had better things that I want to do after I'm done with school for 7 hours.
Oh, no, I've heard that.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that should, if you're trying to make a day, that should be points added in a system that actually honored individuals and self-esteem.
You know, my kids, we balanced things. I mean, you know, some of them were very athletic, you know, they're leaders on, you know, their cap football team, going to state, you know, 2 years and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going, you know, that has value. I mean, you must learn to, you know, I mean, you got to balance it. I mean, okay, so you got B's, all right? That's what parents do. You know, we kind of, you know, set different standards based on, you negotiate, you talk with them, you explain. My kids, I'm very happy they turned out the way they did. And it had a lot to do with what you're talking about. It was emphasizing the things that we determined were important based on discussions and what they wanted to do and where they wanted to go with their life, and with a full, more rounded understanding of the real test or some state. You know, that was not it.
Right.
It was like, I want to keep breathing in and out, raise a family, and do well and so on. How do I best prepare for that? And that's in the next hour when we come back. I want to emphasize that a little bit more. It's more than just get good SAT scores. It's more than just, you know, raising the score. Becoming productive. I survive. I keep to breathe in and out and have a good next generation raising parent individual kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what is that? What are the crucial? I mean, do you teach them how to? I'm telling you about the problem I'm running into now.
Okay.
As we go into actually building stuff and we're going to survive this thing and everything, I'm going, it's this end of the screwdriver you hold, okay? I mean, are we getting into actual, are we doing wood shop in your tutoring, you know?
I think, you know, we're giving these kids we're encouraging these exploratory skills that I believe will solve most of those problems. Kids are not lumps of clay that need to be animated into life by adults. They have all these natural tools to learn inside them. They just have to be honored and respected and encouraged.
They will exceed your expectations because our generation is like, I don't know, we weren't allowed to have any.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, unless it was just to be a good little taxpayer. So this is, I'm really excited about the future. You know, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first, and we need a generation to get us through the mess. So I was very excited about having the youth. They're starting to come together and build the
yeah.
next generation.
Yeah.
You know, we have Kat and John doing this. You know, there's a lot of good.
Free Talk Live.